I'm Carrie Fountain, and this is Just to Say, where we talk to poets about the poems they create and the poems that created them.
That kind of joy or delight in language pushes me along. This is Chen Chen, and I'm reading my poem called Poem. Racked by doubt, but not yet wrecked by it. I pray to the microwave, the crisper drawer, the lemony dish soap, please fish me out of this funk so I can stop puttering around the kitchen, scarfing fries, chips, every man-made form of potato, including mashed, even stuffed, doubled over by dour. But not yet doomed to it, I mope with some hope, desperately open to the dinkiest sign, trace of sensation, confession. I've succumbed to the starch. I've worn the same band tee 4 days in a row. No one outside the apartment to see. And here you might plead, but wait, and beg, but what about your lover, your recent career luck? And I'd reply, don't you know I hate the words career and lover? I thought you were my best friend, but you're just a paperback copy of Madame Bovary I haven't been able to finish. I've been putting off her suicide for weeks now. It's unbearable to know how someone will die, even a made-up someone who does unlikable things. It's awful knowing how and when and a large portion of why. And really, boyfriend isn't much better. It sounds like we're still preparing for junior prom when we live together. And his mother has no white blood cells because the chemo that's killing the cancer is also killing her. And I should be praying for her. And sometimes I do, but mostly it's for me. The least I could do is not droop and wilt like a bad houseplant. It doesn't give people any strength, this sad, endlessly selfish syntax. Though maybe it's getting better. I used to think I knew how I would die, all tragic like Emma Bovary, but without all the adultery and carriages, and probably not in provincial France. And not that I now believe it's selfish to kill yourself, I don't know, don't want to know how anyone will die or when. Though I like to know generally why, our lives pathetically brief, compared to the bowhead whale, the baobab tree. Perhaps partner is close to what I mean, but it sounds so unsexy. I like to sound sexy again, and strong. Last week, when his mother had a break from chemo, she went beeline to the grocery, craving the most unhospitable of ingredients, hungering to make some real thing and hot. But she couldn't touch anything which could get her sick, which was potentially everything. No, I don't want anyone to die, except Cheney and racist cops and certain Wall Street bastards and the guy who called me a fag and laughed, but they will die, and you and I don't want to know how the book ends, that the book ends. I should pick up the phone and call my mother, ask her about her little vegetable patch out back, if she's planted any more eggplants.
Thank you. Tell me a little bit about the way this poem begins. I go back and back to the beginning lines, racked by doubt, but not yet wrecked by it.
I mean, part of this poem is a sort of pep talk. The speaker is trying to give himself. And I often feel like I start that way, where I'm not starting from a place of great strength or resilience or joy, but I'm trying to maybe write myself there and through the process rediscover some of those more enlivening aspects of myself or the world around me. And so part of how I do that is this focus on sound. And so even when I'm in this sort of stuck place, I still want the music of the language to come through. So the kind of alliteration that's happening in those lines, that kind of joy or delight in language pushes me along, even when there's this feeling of stuckness that I'm exploring.
You can find Chen Chen's poem called Poem in his collection When I Grow Up, I Want to Be a List of Further Possibilities, out from Boa Editions. This is Just to Say is produced at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas. I'm Carrie Fountain. Thanks for listening.